out.
Looking for you.
Till it's you.
Welcome to TSB Goes to the Movies. I'm Alex at TSB Pod. He's Ski at TSB Ski. He's King at Jeromney. Tweet us your movie suggestions or join our Discord. That's a better place to do it. Sports Brewery and Discord. Find us in there. We ask for movie suggestions sometimes. You can give us list suggestions for the sports podcast. That happens every Thursday, twitch.tv/abrog87, ABRAWG87, if you want to watch those streams. Every Thursday night around 7:30-ish, hit follow. It will give you messages when we go live, and you can just click the link and watch it. If you miss those, we're on YouTube. You can watch the streams on there. We're also on Facebook. So get on Facebook.
You haven't mentioned that we're on Threads also, right?
We are on Threads.
Is that by default?
I have been a little, yeah, it's because I created an Instagram account and a Threads account at the same time. And so we have both of those things.
I've never been on Threads.
I haven't been posting on them very much. Yeah, Threads is the new thing, man. Like, everybody's deleting their Twitter accounts and getting on Threads.
X accounts, sir.
We were on there months ago on Threads. Like, we were leading the way as usual. So, yeah. I think it's The Sports Brewery on Instagram and Threads. The idea was King was supposed to be our content creator with all the MS Paint stuff, and the paint went dry.
Oh, and AI became a thing and just pushed him out.
It did.
What happened?
My pivot is, I think on TikTok, I'm gonna do reenactments of games with little cutout players. Like, oh, here's a touchdown. 10 minutes left. Oh, you know.
Is that Matt Carney doing the play-by-play? Wow. How about that?
No.
Matt Carney, two podcasts in a row. Crazy.
Oh.
sounds surprising. Sounds a lot like a Muppet. It's weird.
Yeah, weird.
Hey, okay. All right. Movie this week is your movie, King. It is Twister. It was made and released. Actually, probably just released in 1996. Currently on Max, if you haven't seen it yet. Everybody has seen this movie, I think. 66 on Rotten Tomatoes, 6.5 on IMDb, 68 on Metacritic. Pretty much. I mean, that's the level. All right. Good to know everybody's on the same page. This movie stars Helen Hunt. There's a lot of doctors, as Dr. Okay. Joe Harding. Apparently she was a doctor. Okay. Everybody's got PhDs in this movie.
Are you a Helen Hunt person or a Bonnie Hunt person?
Yeah, big Helen Hunt person.
There can only be one.
You know, Mad About You, like this was like this period of time.
Mad About You
was the Helen Hunt era, you know? Like mid-90s, we were just coasting on that Helen Hunt wave, man, you know, and it was glorious. It was glorious.
I feel like the comp then was Helen Hunt, and maybe like Laura Dern. I feel like they probably fought over a lot of roles.
Another Michael Crichton movie, by the way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jurassic Park. Yep.
I got a good fun fact about that, too, when we get through the cast and things.
Sounds good. Bill Paxton plays Bill Harding, not a PhD, is not a doctor. He is a TV weatherman.
Got the vibes, man.
Yep. Jamie Gertz plays Dr. Melissa Reeves. Carrie Elwes plays Dr. Jonas Miller. Louise Smith plays Meg Green. Philip Seymour Hoffman plays Dusty, also not a doctor. Is that surprising here? Like, his character, not a doctor? Yeah, weird. Alan Ruck played Rabbit. Also roles in this movie, like smaller roles by Jake Busey. Abraham Ben-Ruby had a small part in this one. Zach Grenier. He was the like the driver guy.
Yeah, such a good handful of just classic character actors.
Sean Whalen, classic character actor.
Especially on the bad guy Storm Chaser team had them all. Absolutely.
They had all of them. It was all amazing. All of the 90s like character actors. It was wild. This movie produced, by the way, by Amblin Entertainment, which is Spielberg.
Awesome. Senor yep. Spielbergo.
Yeah, Spielberg and Kathleen Kennedy, by the way. Like, I don't know that a lot of people know that. Kathleen Kennedy, she like runs Disney now. Like the Star Wars wing of Disney. She's like, yeah.
What's your first Amblin Entertainment movie that pops in your head?
E.T., I think. Probably.
Mine's Arachnophobia.
Big Jeff Goldblum guy over here.
Absolutely.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Movie written, I said it earlier, Michael Crichton wrote the book, also wrote the movie with Anne Marie Martin, who co-wrote with him.
Yep. I'll give you a quick thing here. So at the time, it's probably got to be top 5 or 10 still. They paid $2 million to Crichton for the rights to this movie.
Woo!
Woo! And then also on top of that, they paid Joss Whedon and Steve Zaella $100,000 a week for them to touch up as their like script doctors. Wow. So even before this movie started, they were probably $4 million in the bag. So
Jesus. And that's like they're uncredited, by the way.
Yeah.
Like Joss Whedon, like uncredited. Nope. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Which is crazy because Anne Marie Martin got a credit as a co-writer mm-hmm. in this movie. And this is like the only thing she ever wrote. Like she was an actress, like she was in like 300 episodes of Days of Our Lives or something like that. And then she ends up getting this writing credit. So,
well, I think she was married to Crichton.
She must have been married.
And I think, her one credit to this, because I think she did help kind of come up with the idea with Crichton.
Okay, fair enough.
I would say how much money, God, I don't even want to know how much money Crichton, his estate has right now.
He has so many credits in IMDb for characters based on.
Yes.
Like
so many.
So many. Every single Jurassic Park thing that has ever existed has his name on it in that way. Crazy.
Then you add in the money that he made just from the books to start with, and then all the movie money. Yeah, that estate is flush.
So other movies that Crichton wrote, obviously based on his books, Jurassic Park and Rising Sun.
Yeah, it's like the third time we brought up Rising Sun.
It's a theme. We can't escape Rising Sun.
We have to watch it.
We really have to watch that.
Great movie.
Michael Crichton also created the TV show ER?
Yes.
I did know that, actually.
Yeah. So also really rich from that. So Michael Crichton doing okay. This movie directed by Jan Debort.
I think it's Debort.
It's Debort, right? Yeah, okay. He also directed Speed 1 and 2, The Haunting, and Lara Croft, The Tomb Raider, The Cradle of Life. So Speed 1 and 2.
He had a good run in the mid-90s there,
The Haunting was pretty good, if I remember right. Yeah. Speed 1.
Can I say something about Lara Croft?
As soon as we're talking about a boat, like not being able to slow down, you kind of lost me, but yeah.
So the wife and I are doing a first time watch of Dexter now. We've never watched it.
You guys just getting ready for the new series to come out here?
No. I heard it was terrible. She wanted to watch it.
They are coming out with a prequel and like a a quasi prequel where it's still like Michael C. Hall is in it.
It was an amazingly good show. Like it was really good. And like, I didn't watch the final season because I refused to, because I heard it was terrible. So I still think of it as this like amazing TV show.
Final season was good. Just had a bad ending. It's like Game of Thrones-esque.
Yeah. It was just a noob talk.
Yeah.
But so we're watching it the other night. We're on like episode 5.
Who are you watching it with?
My wife.
Thank you.
And this girl comes in and I instantly go, Lara Croft, Tomb Raider. She looks at me. And then all of a sudden the scene just goes to. I was like, hey. She had no idea. The moral of the story is she had no idea who Lara Croft.
Oh, okay. All right.
But my moral of the story was,
man, you, by the way, you got good technique, bro. Like, yeah, good for you.
Gotta save that for the visual podcast.
Good for you. Yeah,
I would never.
Save that for the Twitch streams, bro. Yeah, we don't need that on YouTube in prosperity. Let's see. So, having watched Twister, so, you know, in the mid 90s, we're what, like 12, 14, however old we were at the time. We watched this movie, and I think still like today, as West Coast people who have no fucking clue what a tornado is. I was that age, I had heard of tornadoes. Like, I had probably seen them in like cartoons, maybe. Like, so, you know, like
Tasmanian Devil.
Looney Tunes, Tasmanian Devil. Yes, exactly. That's the extent of my knowledge of tornadoes.
North Medford High School.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Yeah. When you were 12, North Medford High School. Yeah. All right. Cool.
David Fajatete.
There you go.
Legend. And the Black Tornadoes.
Okay. That's right. I forgot they were the Black Tornadoes. Mm-hmm. All right. I was like, did a tornado hit North Medford? Like, all right. No, but like we're like West Coasters, man. We don't have any reference for a tornado. And so we watched this movie and we're like, shit, tornadoes are scary, bro. Like, and they happen all the time. Like, why do people live out there? Like literally this movie, they are driving around in their trucks, which I don't know how anybody insures them, because every single truck they own gets destroyed.
Here's a quick fun. I'm going to pop these in a bunch here. Quick fun fact. Dodge was a sponsor in this. So that's why the Dodge truck was
the red featured. Trucks. The red truck saved their life.
Yes. And because it's a Dodge. So, yeah.
When they're getting away from the Category 5, which we also learned about. Yeah.
Either of you ever seen a tornado?
I thought you were going to say, either of you ever seen a Dodge truck?
I've been in a tornado warning in Cleveland, but that is the extent.
Nope. You never been in a tornado warning, never like been near a tornado. Like, no. Again, it's this movie. This is my exposure to tornadoes.
I did see a tornado once in San Antonio when I was in the, I think they call it the Hemisphere. It's their Space Needle, whatever it's called. And no one was very concerned. And everyone was like, oh, yeah, up there, there's the tornado. And I was like, cool. It seems scary.
Like, it's going to die off. Yeah.
No one was scared, so I guess I wasn't scared either. It's like the flight attendant thing.
All right, so a quick question to you guys in here, too. What natural disaster is, like, the scariest to you?
I mean, I guess for us, it's got to be the earthquakes. You don't see it coming.
Yeah, the earthquake that, like, causes the tsunamis, right?
See,
like,
I don't fear tornadoes as much as I'd fear a tsunami.
Yeah.
I mean,
you could escape a tornado. Just get a bathtub and you're good half the time,
just
right?
Don't
drive towards it and you're probably good. You're not getting away from a tsunami or even like an avalanche if you're somehow at the bottom of a mountain. You're just not escaping those. I feel like tornadoes are the most escapable of the natural disasters.
Yeah. I'm trying to think.
Well, hurricanes probably, because you know they're coming.
Like, well, at the time of this movie, you didn't know tornadoes were hitting. They haven't invented the technology yet for the warning.
Yeah, remember? Remember, like, Meg almost died, man.
That's not real. Like,
no, again.
In the Midwest, they had the horns. We knew they were coming.
Did. Again, like, we know these things now, right? Like, we know they have tornado warning horns, and they've had them for decades and decades and decades. Ever since there were horns and tornadoes, they have had tornado sirens. Also, like, they don't happen that much. And they're
seasonal,
not,
right? Tornadoes are kind of seasonal out there in the tornado alley.
They're not all humongous. Like, again, like this movie made it seem like they're tornado chasers. So that there's a tornado every 5 minutes. And there isn't.
So this was also like a once in a century storm that hit.
Absolutely.
So the movie only takes place through a 24-hour period, right? There's no extra days. It's just that one major storm system that pops out like eight tornadoes and like two or three mega tornadoes. So it's.
Yeah. And while they're chasing the tornadoes, there's hip rock music playing. And
oh, so fun fact number two,
they are driving the dumbest cars with the least,
yes, the worst, like
the least action cars you will ever see in a movie with rock, like action rock music. Made me laugh a couple times in this movie.
So here's a fun fact number two. They paid Van Halen to come out with five songs for the soundtrack to Twister.
Damn right they did.
But here's the problem. Eddie Van Halen and his brother were like injured or something, so they couldn't be a part of it. But this was also the time when Sammy Hagar was lead vocalist.
Hell yeah.
And he showed up late and drunk and pissed and got into a fist fight. And that is what broke up Van Halen with Sammy Hagar, was this movie.
Twister?
Yep.
That's amazing.
I thought it was Crystal Clear Pepsi. That commercial.
Yeah. It's Cabo Wabo, actually, is probably what
figured out.
Bro. Another fun fact, Pepsi, the other big sponsor that paid in this movie.
Oh, that's it? Just Pepsi?
Yep.
Okay.
Just Pepsi. Well, Pepsi and Dodge.
I thought Pepsi beat somebody up too. Like by the way, that is a great tidbit about Hagar and Van Halen. That is fantastic.
Are you Van Hagar or
I'm Van Hagar.
Are you?
Yeah. I am too.
I am too. Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
I think they made more hits. We're like, by the way,
it's
like,
a generational thing for sure.
You ask some olds.
Someone 10 years older than us and they're spitting on us.
Oh, they would punch us in the face if they heard us.
Hey, our rule, man.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. So, you know, we sort of talked about it on Thursday a little bit when we mentioned this was the movie we were going to watch, but the cow scene is the big marketable scene from this movie. You know, they're in a tornado. The cow is flying, but like nothing else is really flying, but you know, whatever. It's cool. That's a dumb scene. Like it is,
which is weird because I feel like they do a pretty good job outside of that.
Yeah.
With the tornado, with stuff in it. I mean, there's an oil tanker that explodes that's in it, but yeah, just the solo cow. Just
again, as far as we know, because we're West Coasters, we've never seen a tornado before. We have no idea if a tornado actually throws bikes and cars like we saw in this movie, or you know. All we have ever seen is like news clips of stuff that's destroyed after a tornado goes through. So it's like, all right, that seems probable. But like, would a tornado pick up a cow? Would a tornado throw a truck? Would a tornado tear a roof off of a building but not lift up the people who are hiding in the building? I don't know.
Yeah. Downforce that does that, not upforce. Come on, man.
Okay.
Know your tornadoes.
Scientists over here. PhD. Again, we got PhDs on the podcast, apparently. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Twister experts.
have you guys seen the new Twisters?
Not yet.
No, not yet.
What's the guy's name? Glenn Powell?
Glenn Powell. Yeah.
Yeah, enough of Glenn Powell.
I mean,
I've heard it's good. I will see it.
It feels like I'm gonna watch that one on Max eventually too. That's what it feels like.
It is a shame.
It's out now for like rental.
Yeah.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't like that. There's no crossover from this one to the new one,
so you've seen it?
I have not seen it. I just read that there's no crossover of any character, which is a little. I mean,
yeah.
I know Paxton's dead doesn't help, but you could have worked Helen Hunt in there.
Yeah.
Start of the movie, maybe she's teaching a class or something. That's all I want. A small homage to this fantastic film.
Yeah. Maybe even a Bonnie Hunt, you know?
Yeah.
Man, stop force feeding Bonnie Hunt on us, dude. It's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
It's not gonna happen, all right?
You a Helen big Bonnie Hunt guy?
What's... Helen Hunt or nothing. Cut it out. Just stop it.
Jeez.
I was
big fucking Jumanji guy over here, I guess.
I always like the dog Murray from Mad About You.
Actually, Cheaper by the Dozen too.
Oh, okay. All right.
Sorry.
No. Wasn't in Jumanji?
She was in Jumanji.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just saying she provided refers to the tone.
Yeah, she was. Valid. Of course. Of course. The fiance in this movie,
Jamie Gertz.
She kind of put up with a lot before she eventually left. Like, like being dragged by your fiance around his ex-wife. Like, I know the whole point of the first part of the movie is like to get her to sign the divorce papers or whatever. Like, okay, cool. But like dragging your fiance around while you're like palling around with your ex-wife, chasing tornadoes, like putting her in harm's way, like near death several times, because of your obsession, and like being awkward and like flirtatious a little bit with your ex-wife in front of her. Like,
you just bro. Read, you just verbatim, that was a cologne commercial. That was
Paco Rabanne.
If you just
except for the bro part, yeah.
If you would have read it in one of these voices.
I gotta slow it down a little bit. Yeah.
So this is, I assuming this is a big part of what like Joss Whedon and it did for the script, is that this character was really only in the movie to explain for the other characters in the movie to explain what tornadoes are and like scientific stuff about that's how they bring up like the Fujita scale is because of her, and it's like
Fujita from Godzilla.
Yeah, Fujita.
Oh wait, no, Fujita? No wait, Fujita's Scott. From Dragon Ball Z. My bad.
Scott Fujita is who. Geez, yeah. It's a great pull, but yes,
undersized linebacker.
Very quick side to side linebacker.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the only reason why her character like hung on is so they could get information about what tornadoes are to people like us who. Didn't
we
know
needed
about tornadoes.
The West Coast elite. We needed exposition about tornadoes.
Yeah. So that's why, that's why she stuck around for as long as she did.
I get it. Yeah. Did we though? Couldn't they have had Philip Seymour Hoffman do that for us? Like, I mean, he's West Coast bro. You know, have him explain it. But
he's
creeping
on her the whole movie. Also,
several like this is Philip Seymour Hoffman is like a weird actor case study, because like you have two very distinct different versions of him as an actor. Like
he aged into the serious stuff, that's for sure.
But
like Capote, so, like
Capote, right? Like Capote versus like this stuff, because he did a lot of this stuff,
a lot of that,
like
this
a
was
lot
what he
of
was.
This stuff he was, right? Like, and what was like the what was the really bad Gwyneth Paltrow, Jack Black movie or whatever? Where
Orange
like,
County?
No, where she was like Gwyneth Paltrow, like put on a fat.
Shallow Hal?
Shallow Hal. Shallow
Hal.
Because he was like the friend in Shallow Hal or something, wasn't he? Yeah. Like,
oh my God, that movie was terrible.
Awful. But again, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you have Philip Seymour Hoffman playing these like terrible characters. Like, This like his character in this movie was stupid as shit. Like Dusty was dumb, and his movie, like the Shallow Hal character, was dumb. And then you fast forward like 10 years, maybe, like not
well,
even
mid 2000s, maybe. Yeah,
he's a thespian,
starting to do all this serious shit where he's like winning Academy Awards and is this like super respected actor. Like, this wild, just wild.
I think that kind of fooled people for like when Along Came Polly come out and he went back to this kind of character.
Yeah,
with the basketball. I mean, the basketball scene's a classic scene in that movie.
Is that what I'm thinking of? Like Along Came Polly? I might be thinking of that nutshell.
Where he's on the court with Ben Stiller and he's saying, like, bricking everything, like, white chocolate.
That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah, but this was after, like, Capote and, like, his serious stuff started taking off. But I got another fun fact. On the original cut of this movie that was shown to, I don't even know who it was shown to, but right before they actually released it, when you first meet Philip Seymour Hoffman in this movie, he's sitting in that lawn chair. Apparently in the first cut, his dick and balls are hanging out of his shorts, and they put it, and that was part of the final cut, or I guess the final cut before they saw that his junk is hanging
like
out.
They just didn't notice it?
They just didn't notice it. Or they did and thought it was funny, like to try to see if people noticed.
So they like show that version to all the suits before they actually
exactly,
like,
like all that.
I love that. No, Spielberg and Kathleen Kennedy saw that version of it before they actually cut it down.
But so here, you got to keep in mind, this movie was shot as an R-rated movie. There's a lot of swearing and a lot of like crazy bloody, like the reason why you don't see a lot of Cary Elwes in this, and to that extent, Philip Seymour Hoffman, is because all their scenes got cut because they cut it to PG-13.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause the death scene of those characters, like, what was it? The Grenier's character.
Yeah, they're in the truck. Yeah.
And Cary Elwes's character was pretty gnarly. Like, cause you said it, like they cut it down. Like, cause I remember early in the movie, like Helen Hunt's first scene in the movie, she clearly says
fuck,
but they edited it. Mm-hmm. Like they cut the audio of it. You can see her say fuck, but they edited the audio out, which apparently counts if you're trying to keep it from being an R-rated movie.
Cause it would make more sense too. Cause they are fighting through multiple tornadoes and are unscathed. I think there was a lot more people getting hit by shit. And
yes. You know,
like that guy that when they're hiding out at the movieplex and the drive-in and the big hubcap like zings his head. I'm pretty sure that was possibly.
That's like a Aliens decapitation scene, like in any other movie, right? Like, yeah. Yeah. And then the jizz milk comes out if it's an alien movie. Which, by the way, that the new Alien movie is getting like really good reviews, and I'm
Romulus
super excited for it. So I'm probably gonna go see that one. That looks rad. But like the scene where Cary Elwes and Grenier die, like, is pretty gnarly because you said it, they sort of cut out whatever other deaths or gnarly like physical calamities that would have normally happened if they're like around tornadoes. A tree
flew through the windshield and killed Grenier there.
No, it wasn't a tree. It was like a beam. It was like one of those like triangle beam things. He is destroyed. And then the truck keeps flying, and then it just explodes because why not?
That was a classic Final Destination type death.
It was yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely that. I do like, why did their truck explode?
Yeah, I feel like that's a Mythbusters thing right there. Like, cars don't explode when they just like crash into the ground like that.
They don't. I, by the way, like every time I see that happen in a movie, I'm like, man, Adam Savage lit gasoline on fire and nothing happened. Like he put a match on gasoline and it did not light on fire. You know why? Because they make it so it doesn't. Because otherwise, cars would be catching on fire all day. Like,
what about the oil tanker that exploded too? That they would that explode? I mean, that's a.
It would take something exploding into it to make it explode, right? I don't know. Like,
are we going into Pete Carroll territory? Does jet fuel melt steel beams?
That's no, because that beam wouldn't have gone through Grenier's face. Absolutely. Yep. Pete Carroll, did he say that?
No, but
okay.
Is he a 9/11 truther?
No. Pete Carroll did have some weird. And then when people push back, we're talking like 10 years ago, he was like, okay, enough with me being like that.
He pulled a Kyrie Irving, but just stopped instead of continued on.
He immediately stopped. Not worth my troubles. Yep. Nope.
Not worth that contract and that money.
I got Sherm and Russ and Beast Mode. I'm good. Floating that one out there, guys.
I do remember that was kind of a fun thing to say. Like the jet fuel doesn't melt steel beams thing. Like it was like a. I remember hearing that and being like, oh, well, no, but it does sound cool. I gotta say, like anytime you say steel beams, it sounds cool. So, yeah. Like both of those things individually are cool. Steel beams and jet fuel. So, you know, make a phrase out of it. Yeah, kind of on board. Yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I'm not looking at this article head from CBS News, July 14th, 2013. Report: Seahawks coach peppered four-star general with 9/11 conspiracy questions. So yeah, but he let it alone.
Good stuff, Pete.
Smart,
good for
small
him.
Pete.
Good stuff, Pete. Yep. So, Paxton's character is a tornado whisperer. That's sort of what we're like, what we understand from this movie, right? He looks at the air and can sense when a tornado is happening, right?
Because he's from Oklahoma, right? He's wearing, doesn't he rock the Sooner stuff? So he's, if you're around tornadoes a bunch, yeah.
Boomer Sooner, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So another,
I guess.
I got a couple more fun facts here for you.
Oh yeah, hit us with them.
They kind of did a fuck you to Oklahoma because they wanted to like shoot scenes and like really tie it into OU, mm-hmm. and OU did not want to tie in with this, so they had him wear the Oklahoma hat still in the film. So.
Wow.
And then also, this movie was actually shot in Oklahoma City, right during the time of Timothy McVeigh blowing shit up, and the people from this set missed like 3 days to go help through the rubble there.
Wow. Did they really?
Yep.
That's cool. I mean, cool that they went and helped.
How did Bill Paxton
Timothy McVeigh, pretty cool.
get a photo op?
Right?
God damn, he missed out.
Does seem like something he'd do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really does. All right, right here. I'm proud to be an American right behind me.
Throw some paper towels at it.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Swish.
God. That is still just one of the most amazing things in the history of our culture is the president like throwing paper towels at flood victims. Yep. Like
Kevin Durant.
Oh,
yep. Kobe.
Oh boy. Yeah, Kobe.
Kobe.
Oh boy. So Meg makes a hell of a breakfast.
Steak and eggs.
Like the biggest steak ever. Steak and eggs, man. And like mashed potatoes and gravy for breakfast. Like steak, eggs, mashed potatoes and gravy for breakfast. Like,
are you guys a steak and eggs breakfast kind of person?
Falling asleep,
no,
bro.
Not.
No way.
Uh-uh. No.
What about a chicken fried steak?
Yeah. You know what? I like my chicken fried.
Okay. Well, here's a question. Like, is chicken fried steak better for breakfast or for like 11 o'clock at night?
I think no wrong answer.
At Sherry's.
I think you throw that shit on a sandwich and 11 o'clock at night, it's going to be pretty good.
Yo, I've never done that. Chicken fried steak and like gravy on bread.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. With some lettuce, tomato, some onion on it.
Ooh, ski.
You're speaking to me.
Yeah, what did you just unlocking me, man?
Oh, gospel.
We gotta end this podcast. I need to like go in the other room real quick. Shit.
Jesus walks with me.
Skeezus walks. Oh man, get a shirt. Make it into a t-shirt.
<Sure. laughs>
Oh man. Oh. Okay. Any other tidbits, Ski?
I do got one. I got one last one.
Perfect.
This was the first movie ever released on DVD.
Huh.
No way.
Yep.
No way.
Wow. Yep. Wow.
That can't be real.
That's what it said.
So it was, what was before DVD? Like Laserdisc?
Yeah, I guess it was mostly still cassette was the
was
norm.
It? Yeah, okay. All right. We're still doing cassettes and laser
discs.
Oh my
God. It was.
The first DVD. That's incredible.
It also said it was the last movie released on HD DVD.
Yeah. Yeah. Because Sony won the Blu-ray war or
However, Blade Runner and The Fugitive were released on things we called DVD in Japan before we had
well, the first commercially released
Blade
DVD
Runner
United
Blade
States
Runner
The Fugitive again Blade Runner come on
not good Blade Runner's not good.
God, DVDs are that like
the 90s.
They're old, but like that new.
Yeah,
it's like Kerry Collins was slinging the ball at Penn State before, like when DVDs came out.
Mm-hmm.
Insane. Rich Brooks was on the sideline telling Dino Filia to catch screen passes as DVDs were coming out.
I mean,
Jesus.
they had a good run until Blu-rays hit too.
Yeah. All right. I wrote down a couple of, before we grade this, I wrote down a couple of phrases from this movie that I enjoyed. Dusty, Philip Seymour Hoffman's character, said, "They're in the bird cage, bear cage. My bad. They're in the bear cage." When you're like, "All right, bear cage, tornado term, cool, man. All
Yep.
right, right on." Let's see. They call it the cone of silence when it like went up, and yeah, they're in the cone of silence. And then we got a jumper here. They're talking about fucking tornadoes, man.
Yep.
Come on.
This made me want. I want to watch the new one purely because I want to know what
Yeah.
other jargon they are going to
Yeah.
have, like up to date
You
jargon.
know they wrote some like dynamite lines for Glenn Powell. You know they did.
Let's just think of the technology, the using the Dorothy to try to send up the things.
Yeah.
All you need it all now. All you need is a drone now. You could fly a drone straight into it. Problem solved. You don't have to get near the fucking
Yeah, it's
tornado.
like a 10-minute
It's like,
movie.
yeah, exactly. We solved it. We got the data. We're good.
They had a lot of versions of Dorothy, by the way, that they just sort of pulled out of their ass in
Yeah,
this
they really
movie.
did, didn't
Like,
they?
they
Fell over and lost them all, and then
every
I got
single one
another
of them
one.
was destroyed until that last one, and that was like the sixth one they had in the
Yep.
movie. So, yeah, all right. I guess it's not that major proprietary
Nope.
technology. They made a whole bunch of them. Yeah. All right, let's grade this thing.
What's it out of this week?
Let's go five.
For category five?
It's category five. Tornado. It's your movie, sir. So you start.
I'm going to give this a 3.3 out of 5. I thought there were more cows in the movie. There was just the one
Yeah,
cow.
needed more cows.
Yeah.
Needed more cows. I think we can all agree on that.
Definitely.
How about you, Ski?
I'm going to give it. I think I'm right. I think King's right. I think the movie is a 3.3 just for how the movie is, but I think the relevance of this movie with the CGI and everything, probably a 3.8. I think as a whole, this movie as a whole is worth a 3.8.
I didn't like this movie very much, guys. I'm gonna give it like
Talk
a
about a
yeah.
plot twist.
Well, maybe if Bonnie Hunt was in this, you would like it more. That's the
Yeah.
problem.
As I established, I
Yes.
am a Helen Hunt stan. So, I'm giving this a 2.25.
Wow, that's
Yeah.
man. Oh, that's
Yeah.
low.
So
Unreal low.
I do like I appreciate it for what it was. It was a trailblazer, like in terms of special effects. Helen Hunt is just nice to see in things in general. Yeah, it was weird. It's a weird movie.
Bill
Like,
Paxton, over actor.
And it, yes, as we've
From
established,
Alien,
established
yeah.
that. And it's just like the same thing over and over again. It's like chasing a
Chasing
tornado.
tornadoes, what do you
Yeah.
expect him to do?
I don't know. Plot.
They had some of that in there with the death of her dad and
Yeah.
him with the new fiance. There's some plot in there.